perhaps even involving things that would violate God's will, but the other extreme being that of being afraid to talk about Jesus even at this time of the year. We emphasize from Hebrews 2 how that Jesus came, was born, lived, died, was buried, was resurrected, and ascended, all of those events centering around the theme of that which took place at the cross, making Jesus really our every theme. Tonight we're going to look at 8 ideas that are presented in the Word of God. We're going to look at these with very few comments, with the reading of Scripture, and with the singing of 1 or 2 songs to remind us of each of these points. I had planned this type service tonight before knowing that there would be 20 or 25 preachers in the audience. It may be good that I have. You just don't want to preach a sermon where 25 people can analyze it as preachers do. Brother Lee Grantham said a few minutes ago that you can ask any question you want to tonight. We've got so many preachers here, and I said, I don't want to know that much about it. But anyway, we want to emphasize Jesus tonight as being our everything. It's possible sometimes that we just think about certain characteristics about Christ and fail to think about some others that are just as important. In John, the 15th chapter, verses 12 through 17, we find these words. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. One of the easiest ideas that's expressed in the Word of God about Jesus, one of the easiest for all people to accept, and perhaps that idea that so many people do accept at this time of the year, is that Jesus is our friend. Let's sing that song together.
I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roam. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Oh, he all my griefs have taken and all my sorrows borne. In temptation he's my strong and mighty power. I have all for him forsaken and all my idols torn from my heart. And now he keeps me by his power. Though all the world forsake me and Satan tempt me sore, through Jesus I shall safely reach the goal. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here, while I live by faith and do his blessed will. A wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With his manna, he my hungry soul shall fill. Then sweeping up to glory, to see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roam. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
Please turn to number 47, number 48.
Another image that we often talk about when we're talking about Christ is the idea of his being the shepherd. In John, the 10th chapter, verses 11 through 15, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And then he adds, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Thinking about Jesus as the shepherd is one of the great comforting thoughts that we have when we think about him. A shepherd who cares so much for his sheep. And I'm sure as I read those words, it brought to mind, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The next two songs about Jesus as a shepherd are based on that 23rd Psalm.
The Lord my shepherd is, I shall be well supplied, since he is mine and I am his. What can I want beside? What can I want beside? He leads me to the place where heavenly pasture grows, where living waters gently pass and full salvation flows. And full salvation flows. If e'er I go astray, he doth my soul reclaim, and guides me in his own right way, for his most holy name, for his most holy name. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He in pastures green, he leadeth me, the quiet waters by. My soul he restore again, and me to walk doth make within the past. The paths of righteousness in for his own name's sake. Yea, though I walk in death's dark veil, yet will I fear none ill. For the Lord is my rock. For thou art with me, and thy rod and staff me comfort still. My table thou hast furnished in presence. times of my falls, my head the dust with oil anoint, and my cup overflows, goodness and mercy all my life shall surely follow me. And in God's house forevermore, my dwelling place shall be.
Number 58.
One of the easiest concepts that is used to describe Jesus, a concept that's easy for us to accept, is that of his being the Savior. When we're talking about something that is done for us, it is sometimes easier for us to accept it than it is what we are to do for someone. Luke 19:10 simply states that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. Ephesians 5:23, the husband is said to be the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. And Paul said at 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. We hear a lot about that idea. Jesus came into the world to be the Savior, and that's just as true as it can be. We ought not to limit our thoughts to him about just being the Savior, but we ought to certainly think about that and appreciate what it means to have a Savior born, which is Christ the Lord.
A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up, and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. With numberless blessings each moment he crowns, and filled with his fullness divine. I sing in my rapture, oh glory to God, for such a Redeemer as mine. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, that shadows a dry, thirsty land.
He hideth my life
in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. When clothed in his brightness, transported I rise to meet him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions on high. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows our dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand.
Number 338.
The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus is called the Lamb of God. When you think about that, what image comes to mind? Possibly the innocence and humility of a lamb, and that part's true. Possibly the whiteness of the lamb's wool, and that certainly is involved in our relationship with Christ. But really, there's somewhat more to it than that. You remember when Philip taught the eunuch in Acts 8 and preached to him Jesus, he preached from that place where the eunuch was reading. The place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. But you might wonder back to the time of the Passover under the Old Testament law, when they went out and killed the lamb and used the blood of that lamb to sprinkle on the doorpost and the lintel, so that there would be literally the Passover, the firstborn would not die in those houses because of the blood of that lamb. It's certainly not wrong for us to think about the humility of Jesus and the whiteness and purity as we think about the lamb, but the real idea of the lamb is that he was the Lamb of God that became our atoning sacrifice to make it possible for our sins to be forgiven. Jesus, the Lamb of God.
My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray, take all my guilt away. Oh, let me from this day be holy thine. May thy rich grace impart strength to my fainting heart, my zeal inspire. As thou hast died for me, oh, may my love to thee pure, warm, and changeless be. Dark maze I tread, and griefs around me spread. Be thou my guide, bid darkness turn to day, wipe sorrow's tears away. From thee aside, when ends life's transient dream, when death's cold sullen stream shall o'er me roll, blessed Savior, then in love trust remove. Oh, bear me safe above, ransomed soul.
Number 298.
In Matthew 16, in response to that great confession that Peter made, Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell or Hades shall not prevail against it." The rock that he's talking about there is really he himself. It's really Christ, and especially the fact that he had just been confessed as the Son of God. The divine Christ, the Son of God, is the foundation. He is the rock. Paul at 1 Corinthians 3:10 and 11, when talking about that, said, "Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus." He admonished people to build on that rock, as he told the story of the wise man and the foolish man in the latter part of his Sermon on the Mount. And Peter referred to him as the chief cornerstone in 1 Peter chapter 2, where he also refers to Christians as lively stones. We need to understand that Jesus is the rock that will stand throughout the entirety of the year, throughout the entirety of life. And we need to be sure that we build on that foundation, the rock, that shall always stand.
There stands a rock on shores of time that rears to heaven its head sublime. That rock is cleft, and they are blessed who find within this cleft a rest. Some build their hopes on the ever-drifting sand, some on their fame or their treasure or their land. Mine's on the rock that forever shall stand, Jesus, the rock of ages. That rock's a cross, its arms outspread, celestial glory bathes its head. To its firm base my all I bring, and to the cross of ages cling. Some build their hopes on the ever-drifting sand, some on their fame or their treasure or their land. Mine's on the rock that forever shall stand, Jesus, the rock of ages. That rock's a tower whose lofty height illumined with heavenly unclouded light. Opes wide its gates beneath a dome where saints find rest with Christ at home. Some build their hopes on the ever-drifting sand, some on their fame or their treasure or their land. Mine's on the rock that forever shall stand, Jesus, the rock of ages.
Number 97.
The five ideas that we've expressed so far are not very difficult to accept and apply. When we think of Jesus as a friend, as a shepherd, as a savior, as the lamb, as the rock, it's not difficult to really appreciate those images. But the next three are not as easily accepted and applied. Jesus is called the King. In John 18, 36 and 37, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence." Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Notice the words there, "For this cause came I into the world." One of the reasons that Jesus was born was to be a king. And a king is one who is to be adored and respected and obeyed. And sometimes those that would talk about Jesus coming into this world are not ready to obey him. That's the cause for which he came. In Colossians 1, 13 and 14, in talking about the Father, it says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And in the book of Revelation, what may be the very central verse of the entire book, in Revelation 11, 15, the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Until we're ready to hold him up as king, we're not really celebrating and worshiping him and serving him as we should. Jesus is to be our king.
All day long of Jesus I am singing. He my song of joy will ever be. All the while he keeps my heart bells ringing. For his love is everything to me. He's my king, and oh, I dearly love him. He's my king, no other is above him. All day long in rapture praise I sing. He's my Savior, he's my King. Streams of love around thy soul are flowing. From his heart love's everlasting spring. That is why my faith in him I'm showing. That is why an endless song I sing. He's my king, and oh, I dearly love him. He's my king, no other is above him. All day long in rapture eyes I sing. He's my Savior, he's my king. In his light I'm going home to glory. With our souls who trust his saving grace, going home to sing his glorious story. In the blessed sunshine of his face, he's my king, and oh, I dearly love him. He's my king, no other is above him. All day long in rapture praise I sing. He's my Savior, he's my King.
Number 106.
In Revelation 19, 16, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, it's not as easy to accept one as Lord as it is to accept one as Savior. When we're talking about accepting Christ as Savior, we're talking about what he can do for us. When we're talking about accepting him as Lord, we're talking about what he expects us to do in following him. He's talked about as Lord in many ways. In fact, when Peter drew that first sermon preached, is recorded in Acts 2, when he drew it to a close, he said, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus whom ye've crucified both Lord and Christ. And at Colossians 1:17, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Folks, it just won't work. It just won't work to try to set aside a part of our life to emphasize Christ as the Savior and then go to work the next day and forget that he's the Lord. Or to talk about songs and prayers that are uttered that emphasize him as the Savior and then something else is seen in our lives as we live. We must crown Christ Lord of all. And let him be the Lord of our lives. In the sense that we respect his word and follow him through that word and respect him and his authority. There is a vast difference in talking about the innocence of the child and the lordship of the Savior. Jesus wants to be our Lord.
All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall. And crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saves you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball to him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we'll join the everlasting song and praise him, Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him, Lord of all.
Number 114.
Jesus refers to himself as the way. Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You know, really, that's what all of this is about, is that there might be a way. That there might be that system that is called the faith, the system we call Christianity, the way. And Jesus says he is that way. That way means that there's a way for us to obey God, not to merit salvation of ourselves, but to take advantage of that offer that God has made through grace. And Jesus says, I am that way. Doesn't it concern you that people who claim to follow Jesus say little, if anything, about the way, about the church that he purchased with his blood, about the plan of salvation that includes our penitence, our confession, our being baptized into him and into his body for the remission of sins? Yes, Jesus is a friend, but he's more than a friend. He's a Lord. Jesus is a shepherd and the Lamb. He's the Savior. He's the rock. And he's the King. And all of this is to say to us, he is the way. No man cometh to the Father but through him. Now that's not hard to understand. If no one goes to the Father except through him, that means that everybody must go through him. He is that way, that truth, and that life.
Thou art the way to thee alone. From sin and death we flee, and he who would the Father seek must seek him, Lord, by thee. Thou art the truth, thy word alone, true wisdom can impart. Thou only canst instruct the mind and purify the heart. Thou art the life, the rending tomb. proclaims thy conquering arm. And those who put their trust in thee, nor death nor hell shall harm.
Number 598 will be the invitation song.
The Jesus that we've been reading about and singing about for the last few minutes is the one who says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He's the one who says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me." What is there that I could say or anybody else could say tonight that would emphasize the greatness of the invitation of Christ any more than that which we've been reading from his word and singing together? Anybody ought to be impressed with the greatness of the Savior that came to be our Lord, and the need of being in him and going through him as the way to salvation. And if you're not impressed by that enough to want to be a Christian, I don't know where to turn. Based on that, we encourage you to hear his welcome voice and to come as together we stand and sing.
I hear thy welcome voice.